This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, The Love You Tree. And the author is Dwayne Robinson, and Dwayne joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, and this interview is brought to you by Wespo Press. Hello, Dwayne.
Well, hello, Steve. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. This is really going to touch everybody's heart. This story, The Love You Tree, has very special meaning, a personal meaning to you because of the loss of your wife after 28 years to cancer, and also the Love You Tree is based on actually what you did for her during the time before she passed away. So it's got it's kind of a children's fiction story, but it's got big meaning for adults as well, doesn't it?
It sure does, Steve. The story, I think, is geared toward children, but it truly does reach all audiences, and it's really the story of what my son and I did toward the last days of my wife's illness and struggle with cancer. We actually, she was receiving so many cards and letters, and she was an elementary school teacher, and her children were just making all kinds of beautiful tokens, angels, different paper decorations and so forth, and we didn't have any place to display them where my wife could see them all and be encouraged. So my son and I went out on our property and cut down the branchiest, biggest tree that we felt like we could get in our house, and so we brought it in and put all of those decorations on the tree and surprised my wife with the tree on her birthday, and we called it the Love You Tree. And it was just such a source of hope and inspiration for her, and just a way for her to really see just how many people loved her and were praying for her, and just the outpouring of her friends and loved ones, you know, as she went through this journey.
And you said you'll never forget the look on her face when she first saw that tree.
Well, it was pretty incredible, actually. The tears started flowing, and she was really, really touched. You know, I think it just completely shocked her to see this huge tree in our living room, and
yes.
Then just to see, you know, what was on it, and just to be able to appreciate all of the outpouring of love and faith, you know, that people had sent to her. And she was so moved by it that we absolutely had to move her hospice bed into the living room right beside the tree, and that's where she spent her final days, was right beside the Love You Tree.
So have you ever wondered what a tree thinks? And so this story is told from the point of view of the tree.
It sure is. Yeah, it's first, I never dreamed that I would ever be authoring a children's book, but through this journey, my wife always wanted to write a children's book, and so I just prayed and asked that, you know, God would open my eyes and heart and show me a way to be able to present our story to other people, you know, that would be honoring to Him and also memorialize my wife. And so the children's book idea came to me, and through some pretty unique circumstances, there was some very unique areas of inspiration that came, and pen hit the paper and the words just flowed, and the Love You Tree was the result.
So it's beautifully illustrated, has a short story, big pictures, a little bit of narration from the tree's point of view, and I love the way you personified the tree.
Well, really, and that was part of the last item of inspiration that I really needed, and it came through one of the hospice workers who took care of my wife. And I shared with the hospice worker that I'd told my wife that when the journey was over, you know, my hope and desire was that my wife would recover, and I told her that I would take some part of the wood from the Love You Tree and make something special for her. And when I shared that with the hospice worker said, well, that's pretty amazing because I've just taken up the hobby of making fine writing instruments out of exotic woods. And she said, I would love to make some pens for you from some of the wood from the Love You Tree. So that really, you know, helped, you know, spur me on, you know, for the story. But the true inspiration came when she gave me a letter with the pens that a person had written her that she had made a pen for, and the letter was written from the person of the pen. So the pen was writing back saying, thank you for creating me, and, you know, I'm a little awkward in my words, but I'm slowly but surely learning. And as soon as I saw that letter, then immediately I knew that the story had to come from the tree itself. And so that really just helped to bring the entire story into focus for me.
And the tree is really kind of a scraggly tree, but I love the eyes and the eyebrows and the mouth that you put on the tree.
Well, thank you. Yes, it really, I can't take credit for how awesome the illustrations are, because the illustrator with Westbow was truly incredible. What I had to do was provide my best stick man renderings of you know, what my mind's eye saw, and the artist at Westbow just did a tremendous job in bringing the Love You Tree to life.
So it's clear that this was written deepest thoughts and feelings about a human family's real life journey through a terminal illness to obviously help others, but at the same time, the tree represents, it's symbolic. The tree is symbolic.
It really is, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Steve, because even if you're blessed enough to not have any circumstance where cancer or a terminal illness has impacted your family, there's a great story in the Love You Tree, in that the very least useful tree on our property in terms of having any value for anything is the one that was selected and brought into the house and given the greatest purpose to bring comfort to my wife as she was struggling with her illness. So for anyone who feels like they're just not important or can't seem to find their place in the world, this book could really encourage them that sometimes God has a funny way of taking us misfits and using us in awesome ways.
And we all know someone, may not be in our family, but someone near the family, friends, you know, other business associates, one in three will have cancer.
Absolutely. That's it's a staggering thought, isn't it, Steve?
Really is. Very sobering, but that is reality. So a book like this, written from more of a children's point of view, but at the same time, I'm sure the spirit of it, adults feel the impact.
They really do. And as the book has gained in popularity, I have had an opportunity to do a few book signings, and I'm just in awe of the people who come up to me, you know, adults with just tears streaming down their eyes, and they just pour their heart out to me about their cancer journey. And I'm just really so grateful and surprised, actually, that the story is resonating with so many adults.
We all would love the happy ending, that she is cured and lives happily ever after with you. That is not the case for most with cancer. And so in this book, you say your favorite illustration. Tell us about it.
Well, there's an illustration, and it's as my wife is dying, and the illustration shows just a beautiful picture of God's hand reaching through our window, right through the branches of the Love You Tree, and taking my wife's hand. And it's just a beautiful picture of how God is always with us, and how he very deliberately, I think, ushers us to heaven. And I think it's just a great message of hope that even if the ultimate result isn't healing, then there's still hope, you know, that there's a loving God that's right there waiting to take us to his bosom.
all kinds of uses for this book, obviously in the home, but cancer treatment centers and hospice organizations, hospitals, really would be a great help there.
Absolutely, and I'm really excited, Steve, to share that as I've been in this journey, especially in trying to promote the Love You Tree, I have learned that there's more than just selling a book here. You know, there truly is a ministry, and I have started reaching out to a number of hospitals and hospice organizations, and it's very exciting to me that without fail, they have all embraced the Love You Tree book and are incorporating the story of the Love You Tree into their ministry to their patients. So it's just incredible, you know, how well received the book has been.
We've been listening to Dwayne Robinson. He is the author of The Love You Tree. Dwayne, what's the best way to get your book?
Well, it's available through all of the normal online retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I also have a website called loveyoutree.com, and the book can be purchased there, as well as through the publisher, Westbow Press.
Thank you so much, Dwayne, for joining us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate the opportunity to share the story with you.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Westbow Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying, to 14 ways to get a baby to eat, and so much more. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Westbow Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. Our book is titled Grace by Which I Stand, and our author, who has a story behind the title, is Lynn Lockamy, who joins me from the Houston area in Texas. Thank you, Lynn, for joining me today.
Thank you, Jay, for asking. It's my honor to be here with you.
I'm honored to visit with you as well. You had a startling circumstance that happened in 2006 that may have been the foundation from which you have written this book. Share the inspiration behind Grace by Which I Stand.
Well, in short, I was in a horrific car accident almost 9 years ago. I was driving home. I had dropped my son off early in the morning and was hit head-on, and it was at such a high rate of speed, we actually collided several times, brought in a third car, and ultimately was trapped in the car for 90 minutes. And at the scene, I almost lost my legs. The rescue teams were just having a horrible time. They were of the opinion they needed to actually take my legs. By the grace of God, my rescue team got me out intact. I was life-flighted to the medical center in Houston, where the surgeon said, I really would like to just take the legs. Even if I can attach them and they do go from there, you will likely never walk again. And he, in fact, did attempt. I am up and walking, and walked in the Houston Half Marathon less than 3 years later. So it's absolutely been an incredible journey.
Sounds like a miracle to me.
I think many miracles,
yeah.
For sure.
Uh-huh. You have, in your dedication, mentioned this phrase, pain is inevitable, joy is optional. You have chosen to be a joyful person. What was the impetus for putting the book together? Many people go through tough times and survive. You have decided to share this with the world.
Well, I think I've just truly been blessed with living in joy. It is, it's an incredible experience to walk. Literally every morning when I walk down the hall, I just kind of in an amazement of having the ability to walk. And people in my church, even today, still stop and say, "You are just such a miracle." And we talk about, you know, that's a wonderful compliment, and I thank them for it, but it certainly isn't me. And the fact to me that people can still see and understand the level of miracles that happen, not just to me, but so many other people who are touched by this and part of the prayer chains, is just an awesome experience. And so I go back to, gosh, I don't really think it was a conscious choice to be joyous, but boy, is it a great place to be.
Absolutely. And I think everybody could say that is an amen comment. I think a lot of people who will be listening today will find that inspirational. What is the story that you're sharing, besides the fact that you recovered and you are basically back to a full life of being able to walk and all of that? What is the underlying message that you're trying to share with your book?
My true hope and passion is that if anybody listens or chats or even one-on-one conversations, that I understand that we all have difficulties. You know, people look at me like, you know, you were hit by a truck and this happened to you. And yes, I understand not everyone's been hit by a truck, but we all have issues and difficulties and suffer in life. But if we just learn to take the time out to look at all that God has made and all that he will make from joy, or make joy from pain, just the sunset, summer day, birds, watching deer, all of these little things just are so amazing and awesome. And if we just take the time to look at that, it just kind of centers you and really makes you live in thanksgiving. And then further, if you take the time to think about conversations that you had, whether they were yesterday or years ago, and people that you've met and things that they've said, things that your teachers have said, and when you really think about it, things that piece together over years, something someone said that's inspired you to do something. So my true passion is for people to just be still, listen, pay attention, and just be in awe of how God places the right people at the right time. And these stories just don't end. My story is not a story about an accident and that it's over. The accident was a catalyst for me to learn to really appreciate and seek out all that God does in just the little things in life.
You've penned 144 pages. Would you describe this as a devotional book, an inspirational book, a motivational book? What would be your take on the way to describe it?
I would say inspirational, and that's what I'm hearing from the folks that have read it so far. It's real life. I know personally, I happen to learn more either by seeing something, I'm a visual learner, or by listening to someone or reading stories of real life experiences and how it makes sense, and certainly how it makes sense of how we view what God has done and what he does in our everyday life. And to me, that's what this is. It's a very real, very honest, very raw series of incidences and conversations that I've had with people, and hopefully people can see in their own lives how the same things can happen to them. This really isn't about me. It's about learning to see what God does in your life.
So have you included other stories besides your personal content?
They're all my personal stories, but they're not literally just about something I may have said. I mean, one of the chapters is you never know when. You never know when someone, you say something to someone, and in fact, it's inspired them, and vice versa.
Powerful opportunity to share a life story that will inspire someone else. If you were to, describe your book and introduce it to someone, what would you say in a paragraph or two about this book, Grace by Which I Stand, and why they should get a copy of it?
Well, it's truly my passion to help others learn to see God's blessings in everything. And I know when I lay out the book, I really wanted it to be not just my story or stories of conversations with other people, but to really bring in the biblical lesson for what I was experiencing and seeing with others. And so that is what I did. And so my hope is not only by learning of what I've seen, what I've done, the experiences with people, but to actually go back to the Bible and understand the lessons, much like parables that Jesus spoke. They're life lessons in a manner I believe that we can all understand and share today.
And Lynn, how long did this book take to complete, and when did you decide, I'm going to be an author and get this story out there?
Well, that's actually kind of funny. A girlfriend of mine, while I was in the hospital, said, you need to write a book. And I thought, you're crazy. Why would I write a book, and what would I write about? I mean, I was just devastated physically in an accident, not quite understanding this. And she was already seeing many, many, many pieces unfold. And so right from the beginning, she had planted that in my brain. And people had mentioned that over the years as I learned to walk again. And I do understand that it's an incredible thing for people to watch someone who can walk, not walk, and then learn to walk again. But I did feel a calling, and I would say that that's something that I learned to understand. I really never really understood what a calling was. I just knew I needed to write the book. I have no idea what it will do. My hope is that it inspires someone somewhere along the line. But that's why I wrote it. I just felt he had given me a story to share, and in a manner that I hope that people are willing to listen and understand.
The obvious first miracle is the fact that the doctor who wanted to amputate your leg did not. What other things did you see that were out of the ordinary that perhaps can't be explained by just coincidence?
Oh, there's many. Some of the stories about people literally walking in at the right moment with help that I needed. But while I was trapped in the car, to my way of thinking, I was in and out of consciousness. There were times where the paramedics would be talking to me, and I would not remember those things. But every time I came to, I would ask for my children. And so there were things that were going on in the car, but I distinctly remember someone asking if I could move my right ankle, and I could not. Months and months later, the story was that the rescue teams had determined how they could get me out. They, because of the way the car was overturned up against a brick wall, they couldn't use any rescue techniques that they'd ever been trained on. There was no room to get the roof off the car. There were two jaws of life, and they did absolutely nothing to move the underbelly of the car. And so they really didn't know what to do. And once they apparently determined what they were going to attempt, at that point was when I woke up and we had this discussion around my ankle. What I found out months later was, had I not been awakened at that time, they would have ripped my ankle off, obviously not knowing. And so there's a series of times where there's been a voice or a vision, and now looking back, you have to know that I was absolutely being guided when I woke up at that moment that prevented them from taking the leg.
You mentioned some key individuals that also had a part in your recovery. One, Belinda, another, David. How did they play a part in inspiring you to keep pressing forward?
Belinda was the one who was by my side. She actually was out of town at the moment of the accident, and she got frantic phone calls from the high school kids. Her son and my son are best friends. They grew up together. So she raced back to be by my side and to be there for my children, and she was the one who was in the hospital who would pray for me every day. I knew that she was there for anything my children needed. She was there. They were, as a matter of fact, the very first thing she said to me in the hospital the next day was, do you understand you were on prayer chains while you were trapped in the car?
Mm.
Aside from knowing my children were fine, there was nothing more comforting than that. So she was just there literally with me every day, praying with me, encouraging me. There was a time several days later when my body was not exactly responsive, and she got in my face and said, please, you've got to pull through. You'll have grandchildren someday who need you. And I have a great love for children, and there was nothing else that she could have said that would have made me fight harder to come back.
Incredible. Incredible. Who is your audience? Who's going to benefit from reading this book?
You know, I've struggled with this, and I've had conversations with many. There were people in the beginning who said, oh, it's targeted at women. But I can tell you, I've actually received emails from men, from friends of mine, who have been touched by this, which, of course, brings me to my knees. I think men and women. I'm not exactly sure about a very young audience. I know I spent a lot of time with high school kids. I was an acolyte master at one of my churches, and I've been able to sponsor some weekend retreats with these kids, and it's awesome to spend one-on-one time with them. And so I would have to say probably teens and above.
Teens and above. Mm-hmm. And what message do you think comes through besides the obvious that is outlined in your title?
Gosh. I think, to me, there's no time like the present. Learn to be conscious of seeking out God, seeking His Word, learning to give Him your burdens. It really does help you move forward, and this is something I make an effort with every day, to give Him my burdens and move forward truly in faith and be open to whatever it is He presents to me.
Lynn, is there another book in the future, do you think?
Many of my friends are telling me there is. I've started it. I'm kind of open to any idea, but there very well may be. I think even some folks have suggested a story about all that has happened even through the process of writing the book. Again, the right people who come into your life. It's just pretty an amazing story. It just doesn't ever end. And I think that's the other thing. It's not a story. It is a book that has a beginning and an end. That when God steps into your life, there is no ending.
Beautifully said. The title of the book, again, is Grace by Which I Stand. Lynn Lockamy has been my guest. That's spelled L-I-N, last name L-O-C-K-A-M-Y, if you're doing a search online. Lynn, where can my listeners get a copy of your book?
It is available through Amazon, Westbo Press, Barnes & Noble, and almost every other online retailer.
Any possibility you have a website?
I do. Of course, it's www.gracebywhichistand.
Excellent. Look forward to talking with you in the future. I can see some great things ahead for you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much for asking, Jay. I appreciate it.
For Indie Book Publishing, Westbo Press, this is J. Douglas Parker.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Helen Wu was born and raised in San Francisco's Chinatown, and after a very difficult upbringing, fighting depression, abuse, and addictions, she finally finds herself genuinely happy inside and out. Helen believes in taking our positive thinking and doing something positive to achieve a positive outcome. She's here to make a positive difference in your life, to be your game changer, your aha moment mentor. She's ready to help both men and women get into a better place. Helen Wu is also the author of Self-Aid Success Stories, 25 Success Stories from Successful Entrepreneurs. Inspired by Ellen DeGeneres, Helen wants the world to know that just because we find ourselves in a difficult situation doesn't mean we have to stay there. We can aid ourselves to a better life. So join us for Self-Aid Success Stories with Helen Wu, Wednesday nights at 10, 9 central on toginet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
Greetings for Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book title is Embrace Your Inner Self. Awaken Your Natural Ability to Heal by Sangeeta Patel. And I welcome to the program author Sangeeta Patel.
Thank you for having me on the radio, Jay.
Pleasure to visit with you. You're joining me from New Jersey in the United States of America. I don't think that Sangeeta Patel is a name that I would normally associate with New Jersey. Is the United States your homeland, place you were born?
No, actually I was born in India, and then through marriage, my husband, he was here, so I came here in 1983, and since then I've been in New Jersey.
Tell a little of your book. The title, Embrace Your Inner Self, I know part of your book talks about rediscovering your inner child. My wife would wish that I would forget my inner child. So tell me why you have written this book. What was the inspiration behind it?
Yes, sure. The story began about 27 years ago when I had a car accident and I lost my brother in that one. And this happened back in India. And at that time, my son was 2 years old, and I was struggling with pain and suffering for almost 17 years. And after that, I kind of discovered through prayers, healing modalities and different techniques, especially Qigong, EFT, chakra healing. And as I was practicing, my healing became so much easier and simple, and these modalities were so powerful. So I thought, you know, why not share this with the world and, you know, let them know that, you know, you don't have to go through pain and suffering unnecessarily. There are different ways without any side effects. And that inspired me to write this book.
That's something that many are searching for right now, is alternative ways to heal illness and to also live a better, more healthy existence. You have included that in your book, Rediscovering My Inner Child. What does that mean? How important is that to health?
Yes, great question, because as soon as we, like I myself discovered my inner child, rediscovered my inner child at the age of 40. All these years, I lost her in the darkness when I was about 7-8 years old. Because when we start getting to know the world, when we start growing up in the childhood, you know, we get kind of conditioned by our parents, by our siblings, by the society. And as we get older in that journey, we lose ourselves. We lose our inner child. And that's why illnesses and things, other things starts happening, and negative emotions like anger, frustration, depression, sadness, all that kind of funnels in. So it is very important first to embrace our inner self, and that is why I named that book, Embrace Your Inner Self, and then you can awaken your natural ability to heal, because we are all born healers.
And to embrace your inner self, as an individual who has, as I mentioned, my spouse thinks that I embrace my inner child in the wrong way, that I am too childlike in some of my humor and some of my outlooks of life. Is that what you're referring to, or are you referring to the innocence side of the human nature?
Well, it is kind of a combination, because when you embrace the inner child, the child, when you look at a little baby or a little, you know, children, they are so full of energy and they're so full of just pure light, you know. So it's a combination of that innocence and the playfulness, because creativity comes from that part of ourselves that we most of the time hide behind our adult self. You know, so it is, I think the playfulness and the creativity kind of combines together with that purity, without thinking about all the other things that most of the time adults kind of, you know, plan ahead or think and all that.
Yes. The first step as an adult to get back to that innocence and that innocent approach to life and that very natural way of just enjoying the moment, how do you begin to do that?
Through forgiveness.
Ah.
Because the power, the healing power of forgiveness is the key to open up that unconditional love fountain within us.
The energies that the human body has, where do you discover those, and how did you discover your centers of energy?
Well, the centers of energy is like, if you're referring to the chakra system, then they we have so many different energy centers in our body, because our body is made out of energy and it can be transformed. So for the chakra healing, you know, that those are the main seven energy centers that starts from the base of the spine, which we call it root chakra, all the way to the crown of the head, the top of the head, which is called the crown chakra. And once when I was studying that, you know, like you can realize that when we don't make our basic needs, then usually the first three chakras are blocked or they're not in balance. And sometimes they can be overactive as well. So if you read in my chapter, it's called the Chakra Healing Chapter, it has all the characteristics and all the, whether they are in balance or they are not in balance, and it will show the health issues as well. For instance, the first chakra, like it is located at the base of the spine, and the color is red, and it is associated with the matter. And the characteristics is, like, when you're balanced, you feel grounded and you're very focused and centered and you're living in the present moment. But when you are fearful, when you're nervous, and when you don't feel that fulfillment in your life, in your job, in your home, then that kind of is not balanced. So that way you can focus on that and then make it in balance and in harmony.
Yes, most have heard of acupressure, acupuncture, those types of approaches to health. Is there any similarity to what you've just described and those approaches?
Yes. I mean, all the basic healing modalities, I call it my holistic healing toolbox. And even Qigong and EFT and chakra healing, they're all based on these meridian points that we have within ourselves, and it is related to the acupuncture points as well. So by triggering those or by massaging those points, you can kind of activate them, and that's how the energy flow becomes more smooth.
So I need to teach my spouse how to do acupressure. She is good at applying some pressures, but not the healthy healing types. The acupressure or acupressure point would be a good way to help my health.
Yes, and especially like because forgiveness is related to heart. So the first thing I would say, like, I mean, one of the good points to start massaging is in the palms of your hands. The center of the hands, because in our hands we have six major energy channels, and the center of the palm is the heart center. So when you massage, so you start with the left side of the palm, and then you massage it in a circular motion, and that helps to open up the heart center. And then you do that for a minute or so, and then you switch your hands to the right hand, and then massage the right hand for a minute or two. And you can do this anytime while, you know, like watching TV or when you wake up before you go to sleep, and that helps with the heart center.
I have an automated, massaging unit that is like an acupressure. It's kind of a pulsing thing. Would that also do that same type of benefit of using that in my palms?
Sure. Any kind of stimulation, you know, even tapping on it, massaging on it, any kind of that way that you can give little pressure to that particular point, it would help open up and activate it.
Interesting. Your book is designed for whom? Who's going to find this book appealing and benefit from it?
Yes, well, this book is especially... would benefit to those who are ready to make commitment and responsibility to make changes in their life, to say that, yes, I'm going to take action on this. Because knowledge, you know, most of the people know that, yes, if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. But the action is the key. And after each chapter in this book, I have like a little note section and next step section. So exercise after each chapter would help them to kind of lay out their healing map, so to speak. So it's like a GPS system that, okay, if you're here, if you want to go there, then start here.
A GPS for your health and emotional well-being.
Yes.
And does this, do you feel, would it help someone who perhaps is on medication and wants to get relieved from that? It would be a more natural approach to getting their body back into a good place.
Yes, of course. Because, like I said, you know, energy is energy. And as Albert Einstein said, you can only transform it. You cannot destroy or you cannot create it. So even if you are doing medications or, you know, going under the doctor's care, you can definitely work with this because there are no side effects and it will only enhance your healing journey and it will be faster.
It's obviously been proven and established that a good mental health or good mental outlook does affect health in a positive way. What makes your book different from others in the marketplace?
Well, my book kind of is, I had, when I was going through my own healing journey, I had to get so many different books just to understand it. And this book, I wrote it at very, very basic level. So anybody who does not even know what Qigong is, what EFT is, or what chakra healing is, they get like a taste of different holistic healing tools. And it is very simple, so they can start their journey right away rather than, you know, going through like 4 months program or 6 months program or 1 year program. And then at the end, you know, they don't get. So this way they can get their healing map right away.
108 pages, so you've made it simple, and you have described in there some basic tools for getting into a better place mentally. Embrace your inner self, a great title. How would you introduce your book to someone in a couple of sentences and get them interested in getting their own copy?
Yeah, sure. Great question. So this book is about exploring your own natural ability to heal by trying variety of different healing modalities that I share after practicing on my own daily life. And after each chapter, there are worksheets that you can start right away. And there is no need to suffer in pain. And all you have to do is just embrace your inner self and your inner child with the healing power of love, kindness, and forgiveness, and just watch the magic happen.
And I understand that you have a someone that you know probably very well has been the illustrator in this book.
Yes, he's my son, and he has illustrated this book, and he has also written different children's books based on bullying and the importance of home and love. Sammy's new home, and you know he's an art teacher as well. So
exceptional.
I'm so blessed.
Exceptional. Yeah. Now, is there another book in the future? Have you begun maybe a sequel to this 108 page read?
Yes, I am. I am working on it, and my son is also working on another book. So we are kind of combining our brains together.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. The title of this book again is "Embrace Your Inner Self: Awaken Your Natural Ability to Heal." By Sanjita Patel. Thank you for joining me today, Sanjita. Where do we get copies of your book?
Yes, you can find it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, BalboaPress.com, and also you can visit my website, www.embraceyourinnerself.com.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Jay, for having me on your show. Thank you.
For Indie Book Publishing, Balboa Press. This is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.